Hello, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now you can. Okay, hi, my name is Anjane, and I'm a grateful, willing to recover alcoholic. And I'm willing to change. And I always identify like that, and that's to remind me. Because sometimes I don't feel like changing. But I have to be willing to do that. And I want to thank you for having me up here tonight. What a beautiful thing. What a wonderful thing to be standing here about sunset under these trees in this beautiful place with my people, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank you for letting me participate in my own recovery. I have no idea why I got this call. And I don't know why I'm here, but there is a master plan. We know that. We live by that. Evidently, this is where I'm supposed to be. My sobriety date is November 17th, 1987. And I had nothing to do with getting here. Absolutely nothing. I didn't ever turn myself in anywhere, you know, at a clinic or a doctor or a priest or counselor or anybody. I wasn't that bright. I never went anywhere and said, help me, I'm dying. But it was true. But I wasn't going to do that. And I never knew anybody in recovery. Of course, I wasn't looking for anybody in recovery either. And I wasn't likely to bump into them any of the places that I hung out at. But I didn't even know that you could. I had resigned myself to the fact that I would be found dead in a dumpster. And I knew that was what was coming. And I had resigned myself to that. I had accepted that. Isn't that an ugly fact? That's some ugly reality right there. I had resigned myself to the fact that I would just be found dead in a dumpster. But that's the kind of life that I was living. And I earned my seat here. I was out there for a long time, and I drank and used like a pig. That's what it was like. And when I got sober, I had no idea I was getting sober. I remember waking up that morning, and it was business as usual. I am the buffet-style alcoholic. I like to cruise the buffet table and, you know, my little condiments and things like that. And it was business as usual that day, and I set out on my business of gathering my buffet items, you know, as usual, and something happened. That was the last time. And nobody was more surprised than me, because I had not prayed or seeked help or any of those things. I look back today, and I tell you with all my heart, this is my truth. This is my truth I'm sharing, nobody else's. I look back today, and I say that God got tired of waiting for me to make a decision or anything, because I wasn't going to do it. And I believe firmly that God just picked me up and said, you're getting sober today, it's over. Because that's what happened to me. And I did not believe in, I did not have a God, I did not have a higher power in my life. I had been exposed to a couple of religions in my childhood, and they didn't take, shall we say. And I didn't have, and I tell this little story just to illustrate how seriously I mean this statement. I did not have a God in my life. One time when I was out there, you know, in my little career, I got caught up in this situation, and some people got a hold of me, and there was some kind of a disagreement regarding money and a deal gone sour and so forth and so forth. And these people felt strongly that I owed them a great deal of money. And to teach me a lesson, they took me on top of an apartment building, and they were going to throw me off the roof. And they didn't. But I really believe that they would. I was convinced that that's what was going to happen. Mostly because they were saying things like, you're going to die, bitch. So I believed it. And I was terrified. To threaten me, they just, you know, held me over the little wall. But I remember thinking, this is it. This is where I check out. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, shit. It was an old guy. Because I didn't have one. If I would have had one, I would have been talking to him right then and there. And many other situations. But I tell that story just to illustrate that I didn't have one. I did not have an understanding of a power greater than me. I was my higher power. I had grown up pretty much on my own, made all my own decisions. I had always been just on my own. And I relied on me. And therefore, there wasn't any power greater than me. I had always got myself out of all those little tight situations, you know. And this was it. I worshiped this right here. And I did not have a power greater than myself. But I look back now today and I can tell you truthfully that all my whole life I was spiritually starving to death. And I wanted that thing. But I didn't know what it was. And I didn't know where to find it. And I wanted it, and I wanted it, and I didn't find it any of the places I went. I didn't find it in the jail cells. I didn't find it in the bars or the dope houses or those ugly, horrible, cheap motels with the big cucarachas about this big. Because that's the kind of places that I frequented. I did not find this power greater than myself. What a wonderful, beautiful deal it is, Alcoholics Anonymous. We all come from different walks of life. And you know what they told me when I got here? They said, we don't care, honey. You could be from Yale or jail. Here you are now. And isn't it true? We need to hear all the different stories. I need to hear yours. I need to hear each and every one of those stories. And believe it or not, you need to hear mine. And if I don't come from where you did, that's all right. You know all about me. And if you didn't come from where I did, that's okay too. We don't judge each other in here, or we're not supposed to. It's a goal that we have. You know what the big book says? It says that we are like the shipwrecked people right after the ship went down, and we're in that rowboat, and we're rowing. We're all together like a team, and we're rowing that boat. Only some of us is looking over to see how fast the other folks are rowing. You get alcoholics together, and they're liable to act alcoholic, whether they're drinking or not. That's the wonderful thing. They say that we're people who ordinarily would not mix. And they're not kidding. They are not kidding. I think we are the original, we're all the original loners and rebels. Rebels without a cause, you know. We like to be alone, don't we? Except for when we like to be the life of the party. But all the other time, we like to isolate. We like to get off alone somewhere and feel really good and sorry at ourselves. Punk sore at the world and blame everybody. And, oh, man, we love that. The other thing we like to do is get in the car and drive. We love that stuff. And we have that in common, don't we? We have that in common. The other thing we like to do, we like to get on the phone. And tell somebody off. One of my favorite things used to be, because I married everybody in the world. I married everybody who ever asked me. And one of my favorite things, how I ended a lot of those, I love to throw a TV set through the front window. Oh, man, that feels good. And it's real concise. It ends the conversation. Don't nobody want to talk to you no more after that. It's over. We can move on now. But man, I used to love that. That was my favorite thing. The other thing I used to like to do is while you were gone, I would just move to another state. No, nothing. And you could just spend the rest of your life figuring out what happened because you know you weren't no good. I like that. And it's so funny because now, today, I've been in a relationship for 20 years with the same person. Oh, my God. You guys are clapping because you know how hard that is, don't you? And there are many, many days when I just wonder and I think, God, how can this person stand me? Because I am just the most unreasonable, awful-tempered, horrible person in the world. Sometimes I think that, like just a little, you know. And then other times I know he is. But somehow, we are together. And we're learning how to do this. I've been learning how to be in a relationship. I had to grow up again in Alcoholics Anonymous, or grow up period, because I never was very grown up. But I had to grow up, and I also had to learn how to love. And Alcoholics Anonymous has done that for me. It has turned me into a loving daughter, a loving sister. I know how to be a friend today. I know how to be of service to other people, and I know how to be a good wife today. And that's because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Taught me all those things. And boy, did I need them. I needed them. As I told you, I grew up just on my own, making my own decisions, and boy, they were some lulus. They were not good. And I ended up in many ugly places. In and out of jail. I did prison time more than once. I started doing time in 1964, and I didn't stop doing time until almost 1980. And I was in and out of jails. I was lived many different places and never could have a relationship. My life just a complete zero. As a growing human concern, as our 12 and 12 says, I was a zero. I was bankrupt in every area. I didn't add anything to the quality of life on this planet. I only took. I was sort of like the black hole, sucking off everything, you know, but I didn't give out anything. Nothing positive. And if the world was an ugly place, believe me, I did my best to make sure it was. You know, I added my little ugliness to it. And my truth is that today that's not true. That is not true. Now, I might screw some stuff up today and make a mistake and make a royal jackass out of myself, but when I put my head on that pillow tonight, I'm going to be sober. And everybody sitting here knows that that means I'm a winner. I am a sober woman with dignity. And nobody can take that away from me. Not nobody, no way. And that means I'm a success. Now, if you were to check me on paper, like my worth and what you owe and what, you know, all that kind of, you might still prove that I'm a zero. But that's not true because I don't judge myself like that today. I'm a precious child of God. And I have a right to be on this team. All of us do. All of us do. And I'm sure I'm not the only one on this lawn tonight that did some horrible, horrible things. And suffered for those things. Yes, I did. It was right that I suffered because I did terrible things. So when I came slithering in here, and it was a slither, baby, you know, I had a lot of shame and guilt. And I felt ashamed, not only for the things I had done, but I was ashamed just to be alive. Just to be here, just to exist. I was ashamed. And there's no way in the world that could happen to me today. No way. And if you don't call that a miracle, I don't know what is. To me, miracle's real simple. You know, I don't need a slide rule or any of that stuff. I don't need to draw a diagram or prove it in court of law. Miracle for me means the stuff you can't explain. The stuff you can't explain. And I'll give you just one example. About 10 years ago, they gave me an award. The Los Angeles Women's Foundation. I'm telling this for a reason, not to toot my horn, because really, I don't even give a damn about it. But if it'll prove a point, I'll share that with you. About 10 years ago, they gave me an award for mentoring women. And they had a big fancy luncheon in the Crystal Ballroom at this hotel in downtown Los Angeles. And they gave me roses and gave me a check for my favorite charity and all kind of, you know, fancy things. And all I could think about was I used to stand about two blocks down the street selling dope in my body. Yeah, right on that corner. Now, if you tell me that's not a miracle. That's a miracle. And here's all these important people applauding me and giving me a standing ovation. Isn't that a miracle? Either that or a cosmic joke. One of the two. That's a miracle. I've had the opportunity to go back into some of the same jails and institutions that I used to be a frequent flyer at on the wrong side of the door. And I've had the opportunity in this recovery to go back as a part of a post-release committee, helping women to get the program. Got to shake hands with Sybil Brand, the founder of the Sybil Brand Institute for Women. Used to be the county jail. She used to give us a lipstick every Christmas. And I got to tell her personally, thank you for the lipstick, Sybil. And if you don't call that a miracle, then I don't know. You're pretty tough to please. You're too tough for me. But I asked God, as I was sitting here enjoying your wonderful fellowship and meeting people, and I met the fantastic Wanda and the gorgeous Suzanne and the handsome Bill and the fabulous Dennis and this pretty Alice and out of sight Romeo. Where'd he go? He's so cute. I love him. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, wow, I sure hope I can get up and give them a good message tonight. Father, please, put the words. Give me the words. Help me to say something meaningful to somebody, somewhere. If it's only one person out here tonight, let me send out the message of hope. Because that's all I've gotten since I've been to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't even know what I was looking for. They always say, if you want what we've got. Hell, I didn't know what you got. I didn't run out and parking lot and see what are you driving and where you live. I don't know what you got. I just knew I didn't want what I had anymore. I was done with that. And if you people would have told me, you're going to have to get naked and stand on your head on the Santa Monica Freeway, I would have been the weirdest looking sculpture out there on the Santa Monica Freeway. I was blessed with the gift of desperation. And I wish that for you if you're new. I wish you desperation. I hope that life kicked your butt. I hope it really did. I hope you're done doing your research. Because when I got here, I didn't have to worry about that step one. I didn't have to think, am I really an alcoholic? I didn't have to make like a decision tree or, you know, pros and cons, any of that stuff. I was spared all that indecision. Because when I stepped foot in here, I knew I was an alcoholic. You know, let's get on with it. Yes, I am. And you raise your hand. Yes, I am. You know. And I heard a complete genius say, honey, nobody cares how the jackass got in the ditch. We just care how we don't hit him. Genius. That's what I've been doing ever since. And I want to tell you, and I always love to speak to the women. You know, I am an alcoholic and I am in recovery. And I'm also an incest survivor. I'm also a battered wife survivor. I'm also a survivor of mental illness. And I know I ain't the only one. As a matter of fact, I can look around here and there, but I won't do that. Not for life. But I always like to bring that up because we have a lot of shame connected with those things. And you know what? Not in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't have room for that. We don't have time for that. We're busy getting that donkey out the ditch. But I do want to mention that I have found great healing through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't just sit there and read them on the wall. I've actually taken them. And I'm still taking them. And because of that, I have had great healing in my life. So I wanted to say that to you. If you're having any of those issues or any others, I have found that healing in the 12 steps. Now, our big book says, if you need other help, outside help, be quick to use those professionals. Jump on it. If you need further therapy or any of those things, we don't poo-poo that stuff. We're in favor of whatever works. Go get it. Get it on. What we're not in favor of is sitting there crying about it and eventually drinking again over it. I didn't go through all the hell I went through to have a miserable sobriety. I wanted to get to the happy, joyous, and free. And that's what I am today. So I have to share that. I have to tell you, that healing is available. I did those inventories, and I made those amends, and I continue to do them. I'm of service, and it gets me out of me, and it sure does work. So do those things, because if life is too short to be miserable. Sometimes you run into somebody and they're sober, but they're so miserable, you feel like saying, go drink. Go drink, you miserable son of a bitch. Go drink. God didn't put me on this earth to cry. We don't believe that life is a veil of tears. That's what our founders tell us. We insist upon enjoying life, but we are not a glum lot. Oh, we still get worked up over every little damn thing. That's who we are. We're like the princess and the pea. You remember that old fairy tale? Couldn't sleep because she could feel that little pea up under dirty mattresses. Remember that? Sometimes I think that's who I am. Essentially, you know what I mean? But that's not who I am. I'm just an alcoholic, and I got a peculiar mental twist on everything. I got my own little tape, you know. And that's how I do my checkups. When I'm being a resentment magnet, and I have them days, everything bothers me. It don't bother anybody else, but it bothers me. That's how I do my checkups. Something's wrong. Something's wrong in the land of Angela that I'm catching all these resentments. Time to get back to basics. Beef up on their meetings. Beef up on the service. Go back to step one. Read my book every day. I'm willing to do those things because, my friends, I want to be sober more than anything else in the world. And that's after 21 years. So I wish that for you. But I've had to do some stuff. God got me here through no fault of mine, believe that. But me staying here, now I've had a great deal to do with that. I've had to take direction. I've had to do the things that you told me to do. And I didn't think I really had to do them. If I was as sick as Dennis, I might have to do them, you know. But I didn't think I really had to do all that stuff. And I had to do them anyway. Because I wanted to be sober more than anything else in the world. And I have found a beautiful, beautiful way to live. When I was 3 years and 10 months sober, God spoke to my heart. And whenever I tell people that, some people roll their eyes. Some people go like this, you know. But God spoke to my heart, and I know when God's speaking to me. And he told me to do something, and I did. I opened a recovery home for women. And I'm still doing it 18 years later. And during that time, I'm willing to let God use me. And during that time, we've assisted over 2,000 women. And I get my paycheck. I get my paycheck because I don't get paid for my work. But I get my paycheck when them little kids about this big come running up and say, thank you for giving me my mom back. That just kills me. Just kills me. And I think, man, what a beautiful story for a beat up old useless sucker like me. And that's what I was when I got here. That I could be instrumental in somebody's life and make that kind of difference. Isn't that God? Isn't that a miracle? If you don't think that's a miracle, you're too tough for me. Every day, I'm blessed with miracles. Every single day, I get to see newcomers recover. I get to be a meaningful part of the positive energy of this planet. And I'll tell you the truth, just for me, this is my truth. I'm not into the old man in the sky with the long beard and all that stuff. If you are, that's fine. I don't care. But that doesn't work for me. I believe in the positive energy of this planet. I believe in love. I believe in healing. I believe in recovery. I believe in hugs when people need hugs. I believe in putting some extra water in the soup when companies show up. I believe in those things. Those are real to me. I get up in the morning, I speak to this power greater than me, and I don't know his name, and I don't follow the rules and regulations. I just give myself to him. And I say that third step prayer verbatim out the book, which took me almost a year to learn. That little third step prayer took me almost a year to learn. And I surrender every morning, and I ask God to use me. And then I add some other stuff that's going on with me. And at night, I get down and I say, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all the gifts you have given me today. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the stuff I didn't even notice, Father. Thank you. And I know he loves me. I know he loves me. Because I was supposed to be found dead in the dumpster about 30 years ago. And I've talked to people and shared my story before. And I remember people told me, well, you just quit because you got tired. And I thought about that, you know. And then I remembered, hell, I was tired 15 years before that. Now, I'm not the sharpest tack on the board, but I don't think it took me no 15 years to realize I was tired. And I'll tell you this, just to illustrate that point, about 15 years before I got sober, I was living in a little rooming house on Washington Boulevard downtown L.A. And when I would get up in the morning, I had to drink night train to get down those stairs. I could not get down those stairs. My leg would go like this here on the steps. If I didn't drink my little short dog, I could not get down those steps. And one day I got down them steps, and I was leaning on the wall, because I lived right next door to the liquor store. It was very convenient. And I was leaning on this wall, and I was trying to catch a trick. And the really sick part is, they used to stop. And I looked tore up. I looked very unattractive. And one day I passed out, and I went into a coma, and I got took to the hospital. And, of course, as soon as I came to, what I do, I was out of there, back to my thing. But, honey, you don't think I was tired? That was tired. Do you hear me? That was tired. I don't think tired had a damn thing to do with it. I believe that God was working in my life a long time before I ever acknowledged his existence or his presence in my life. I believe that God was holding my hand. And that's why I didn't get killed in all those situations I have put myself in. That was God's plan. And if you're sitting here today, the same thing is true to you. Because every time that we drank and drove, we should have been dead. Every time. Or if you put some little illegal substance in your hand, some little something, something, you should have went to jail. In fact, you didn't. It was just blind luck. Not because you were so sharp. Tell that to somebody else. No, it's because God has something better in mind for you than you did for yourself. And that's what happened to me. And I know now that God was always working in my life. One time this guy slid up on me. I was sitting in the passenger seat of the car, and he slid up right here at the window. And he had an honest grievance, tell the truth. He saw a fireman standing right there at that window. And he unloaded that gun. And I'm standing here today talking to you. Nobody in the world is that bad of a shot. Nobody. Even just the ricochet alone, I should be dead. And he stood there looking at me and looking at the gun and looking at me and looking at the gun. And I sat there looking at him and looking at the gun and looking at him. This is how I know. This is how I know. God was working in my life long time before I ever acknowledged him. Long time before I put my hand in his. God is a gentleman. He waits. He waits. God's real name is love, by the way. I hope you don't mind me saying that. Some of you know that. God's real name is love. And God is in action every time we greet the newcomers. God is in action every time we sing happy birthday, clap our hands, clean the coffee cups, empty the ashtrays, drive somebody deep into the farmland for a picnic. Every time we do those things, that's God in action. And I love being here. Don't get me wrong. I love being here. There is no place in the world I would rather be tonight. Nowhere on this planet than with my people, Alcoholics Anonymous. Because you know my heart. You know where I came from. You know my sorrows. You know my shame. You know everything about me, and you love me. And I love you right back. And somebody asked me what I was doing this weekend. I said, I'm driving up to Visalia. And they said, where the hell is that? And I said, I don't know, but I'm going. They said, what for? I said, hey. They said, really? You don't drive? I was, these there weren't people from my home group, by the way. And I said, yeah. And I said, wow, you really did it, huh? I could never repay my debt to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a privilege and an honor to be asked to do something to be a service in Alcoholics Anonymous. We get that new pair of glasses. We get that new attitude. I used to look at people like, what could I get out of you? That's all I would look at. And today I get to love people and I get to appreciate people. I get to have beautiful people in my life. I've met the greatest people in the world in Alcoholics Anonymous. People who care if I live or die. People who miss me when I don't show up. As you can see, I'm a crier. I cry for everything. And I'm not ashamed. I think tears are beautiful. My sponsor used to say tears are the clean the windows to the soul or something. I'm not even saying it right, but she connected with me. I ended up getting a sponsor completely different than I am. I lived a life of crime and low bottom and ugly stuff. I ended up getting a retired housewife, a toast burner. We didn't have a damn thing in common. She used to tell me, you know, that she couldn't even relate with people like me. And I'd think, yeah, I can't relate with you either, sister. But I didn't say it. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. It didn't matter that we didn't hang out in the same place or come from the same place, because fear is the same wherever you are. And hopelessness is the same wherever you are. She was just doing it at home in her kitchen. She didn't have to do it all over California. It didn't matter. She connected with me, and she gave me real things that I could put in my heart and take with me. Greatest gift in the world. Because I can go anywhere and I can do anything in this sobriety. When I was about 6 years sober, I got given the gift of a cruise to Hawaii. And we went out on this dinner ship, you know, and they do the show for you and you eat. And I didn't know that the real reason everybody was gone because they have free drinks all night. So I'm stuck at this table with all these people with these free drinks all night. Are you getting the picture? And they were upset at me because I wasn't drinking. And they kept saying, oh, come on, loosen up. Are you a Sunday school teacher? And stuff like that. And I kept, you know, ordering Diet Cokes. And you know, I tried to laugh it off. It was getting a little annoying, and they were getting drunk and falling all over. But I was having a good time. I really was. And here come my third Diet Coke. The first two had been fine. So when they brought that third one, you know, I didn't think anything. I started to suck it up in a little straw. Hello, whiskey. Somebody had put whiskey in my Diet Coke. And I recognized it right away. And my first thought was, oh, shit. And my very second thought was, but I'll be okay. Shoved it out of the way. And I didn't order anything else all night, okay? No more Diet Cokes for me. But I was okay. Because I had 6 years of meeting, service, taking the steps, and of course I was all right. I just thought it was a very cruel thing to do. And I let that be known. Probably not real graceful. But I had been at the 12 Coconuts meeting on Waikiki Beach the night before that famous meeting. And you know, there was people from all over, Austria and London and Texas and, you know, all these weird places. And I was the person with the most sobriety at that meeting. Everybody else, they were from, you know, on a trip to Hawaii, tourists, and they had like 90 days, 1 year. And all I could think of was, what if they do this to my brothers and sisters? Because if I would have had whiskey poured in my drink at 90 days, I would have went ahead and drank that drink. I like to think I wouldn't, but I know me too good, I would have drank that drink. But not after 6 years of meetings and listening to you and taking direction and being a brother. No, I was fine. And I get to go those places today. I love comedy. I like to go to comedy clubs. And I can go there. I take AA people with me. If there's an artist I want to hear, because I love the blues, if there's an artist I want to hear, I go to that club and hear them. But I take AA people with me. I don't hang out in no bars, you know. But if there's something I want to do and I have a reason for being there, I go. I don't protect myself from temptation. After 21 years, man, if I think I'm still sitting here holding on like this here, you must be cracking the head. I would have lost that fight probably the second day. I came in here and I surrendered. I do not have a problem with alcohol today. I just can't mess with it, period. Not for me. I have my issues. Today I'm a sober woman, and I enjoy my sober life. If you're newer than me, welcome home. Welcome to the best thing that ever happened to you, whether you know it or not. And if you come in here with a bad attitude and think we're picking on you, and why do you have to do the cups and all that stuff, and you want to get up and say, I don't want to be here and all that. We understand. You have a few months grace period to be an asshole. We understand. Everybody in here was an asshole when they got here. We understand. And we love you just the same. It might take you a minute to realize this is the best thing that ever happened to you. You might still be thinking, if only he or she would do the right thing, or if only you had enough money, or you lived over here, or you had curly hair, or you moved to Georgia, or you might be thinking all that stuff. You may not think this is the answer, but we know. And we ain't going nowhere. So you know right where to find us when you bring your miserable little self back with all those arrows in your butt. We'll still be here and we'll still be laughing and having a good time. Alcoholics Anonymous, that's the music of AA, laughter. That's how you know you're at a meeting, because we love to laugh and joke about it. We can laugh and joke about the bad old days because they're over. And we're off into the happy, joyous, and free. I don't know if I've said anything to make sense, but I do want to tell you again, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. And I do thank you so much for allowing me to come and visit with y'all. We have a beautiful fundraiser here and a beautiful countryside to enjoy it in. If you got any complaints and problems, I don't want to hear it. I live in L.A., baby. Thank you.